Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Say, Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Say,
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear Islamic brothers, respectable elders, honorable youngsters, viewers of Madni channel, there are numerous benefits and rewards of sending durood o salam, salawat, peace and blessings, salutations upon the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to one report, it is stated, O people, indeed on the day of judgment, the one who will be delivered the quickest from his terrors and accountability will be the person who recited the most salat upon me in this world. SubhanAllah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So alhamdulillah, we've just heard a beautiful narration with regards to the excellences and the virtues of reciting durood. Yani on the day of judgment, the most difficult day of all, when people will be held accountable for their actions, me, you, every single human being, Muslims, non-Muslims alike, we will all be held responsible and accountable and questionable for our a'mal, for our actions, for our deeds, good deeds and bad deeds on that day. If you want to be safe from the accountability as quick as possible, if you want to get through the accountability swiftly and rapidly, then one way we can achieve this is by reciting durood and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let's make some good intentions, inshallah, from today onwards, for the rest of our life. For as long as we live and for as long as we breathe, we will try to recite durood o salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as much as possible. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, afdalul amal an-niyyatu as-sadiqah. The best of deeds is a sincere intention. So holding and having a sincere niyat, this is very, very important. And it's the most rewardable deed according to this narration. We should have good intentions in our hearts and minds at all times whenever we carry out any good actions. So if you want the reward, if you want the thawab and we want the ajr to attain this, we have to have niyatu sadiqah, a sincere intention. And the best way and the most truest way to have a sincere intention is the intention for that action should be that I am purely and solely doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to please people, not to show off to people, not to do it for the public or for fame or for people to praise you. This should not be the intention. Rather, the intention should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever we do any good action, jab bhi hum koi neki kare, to niyat sirf Allah ke liye honi chahiye, logo ke liye nahi honi chahiye. We should do it only for the sake and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's make some good intentions that we are all here, we are attending the weekly sunnah inspired gathering of Dawat-e-Islami to attain the pleasure, the rizā of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, my brothers, viewers of Madhi channel, the topic of my speech today is a beautiful topic, a very important topic that is related to me and you on a daily basis. And it's something that we really need to start to develop inside our characteristics. It should be embedded in our nature. It should be embedded in our character. And That is the blessings of having husne dhan, having good opinion, having a good assumption about Muslims, and staying away from bad opinions. And today we're going to learn through the Quran and the Hadith, the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the rewards of having husne dhan, a good opinion about a Muslim, and the punishments and the warnings for those people who possess and keep bad opinions about Muslims. To begin with, I want to mention a story. This story highlights the power of having a good opinion about a Muslim. It says, a group of thieves, once they made a plan to go and loot and steal. On their journey, they stayed at an inn and they acted and pretended to be travelers in the way of Allah. So outwardly, they acted like they are travelers who are traveling in the way of Allah, but in reality and inwardly, they were actually bandits. They were thieves. They were burglars. The person who owned the inn where they were staying, he was a pious person. So with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he respected them. In his eyes, there were people who were traveling in the way of Allah. He had no idea that they were bandits. He didn't have a clue that they were robbers. For him, they were pious people. They were people who were traveling in the way of Allah. So he treated them well. He looked after them. He was hospitable towards them. The next morning, the thieves left and they went and started to steal. The whole day, they went and continued with their plan. They stealed, they burgled, they robbed. And they came back the very same night to stay again at the inn. When they came back to the inn, they were amazed and they were shocked. What they see is the very same innkeeper who owned the inn, who was a very pious person, who had treated them really, really well. When they come back and they knock on the door, they were very amazed to see that who is opening the door? It's not the innkeeper, it's the innkeeper's son. He had been crippled the night before and now he is walking freely. Today now, he is opening the door. So they were shocked and they were amazed, they were baffled. And they asked the innkeeper, they say, isn't this your same son that we saw yesterday? But he was crippled, he was disabled, he could not even walk yesterday. Today he is opening the door and he's walking around freely. And he said, yes, this is my son. He is the very same son. So how did he recover? It's only been one day. We saw him yesterday in this condition. And now we are seeing him. He is free from any kind of disability. How has this amazing recovery happened? This pious person, he says to them, he says, this is all due to your blessings. You are the travelers in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever food that I presented you yesterday, there was some food left over that you had eaten. And we gave that food to our crippled son with the intention of healing. And we massaged his body with your leftover water. Allah Almighty cured him through the blessings of your leftover food and water. Allahu Akbar. When the thieves heard this, they realized they were thieves. And this person thinks that these laws are saintly. When the thieves heard this, they exposed their reality. Tears started to flow from their eyes. They cried and they said, this is only a result of your good opinion about us. In reality, we are not what you think we are. We are not travelers in the way of Allah. We are bandits. We are robbers. We are burglars. We are looters. We are grave sinners. And we are not travelers in the way of Allah. We are thieves. This favor from Allah has touched our hearts. We take you as our witness that we repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it says that these bandits, they did tawbah. They repented in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And until their final breath, they remained firm and steadfast upon their repentance. From this story, my brothers, what do we come to realize? We come to realize that this individual, this innkeeper, he had a positive opinion. He had husne dhan, a good opinion. Achha, husne dhan usne rakha tha, unke baare mein achha guman kiya tha. And through that, there were two blessings. Number one, what did he do? He thought that these are the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The food that they have eaten and they have left over. The water that they have drunk and left over. That is not normal food. That is blessed food. That is special food. That is mutabarak. It is blessed. It is mubarak. So they gave it to their crippled son. What happened? Because of their good opinion, Allah gave shifa to their cripples. Subhanallah. And the second brilliant thing that happened because of their husni zan, their good opinion, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave these bandits the tawfiq and the ability and the mindset and the understanding to do tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To husn-e zan ki kitni barkate hain ki ek apaij beta jo bilkul disabled tha, Allah ta'ala ne usko shifa de di. Aur isi tarah jo gunahgar ye jo lutere the, jo daku the, Allah ta'ala ne unko tawbah ki tawfiq ata farma di. My dear brothers and viewers of Madni channel, in this we learn about the leftover. How the innkeeper fed the food of the leftover of the travelers, the bandits, and the water that was left over. Now let me mention some Madani pearls regarding the leftover of a Muslim. The leftover food of a Muslim in today's day and age, today this is something considered to be despicable. Today if our Muslim brother drinks from a glass, we don't want to drink from the same glass. We turn away from it in disgust that I'm not going to drink from that glass. But what does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us about the leftover of a Muslim? How much blessings is there in the leftover water of a Muslim? How much blessings is there in the leftover food of a Muslim? From an Islamic perspective, have we really understood? There is a narration mentioned, سُعْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِ شِفَاءٌ, that the leftover of a believer is a means of shifa. Say subhanallah. Yani the leftover, mu'min ka jo joota hai, uske andar shifa hoti hai. There is cure inside this. You don't know. Outwardly, you may be disgusted, but Allah may have placed shifa and cure inside the leftover of that Muslim brother of yours. So the leftover of a believer, remember it must be a believer, there is shifa within this. Eating or drinking your Muslim brother's leftovers not only brings the hope of physical healing, but also it promotes unity. It promotes brotherhood. The love increases. That mutual love, it increases. It protects a person from takabbur. Sometimes a person thinks, why am I going to drink the leftover of his water for? Why am I going to put my mouth on the same glass or the same cup that he's drunk from? Thinking that person is inferior and I am something superior. Like when a person drinks from the same leftover water of his Muslim brother, what happens? It removes takabbur. It removes the arrogance. It removes the pride. And it nurtures humility. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, and I want you to listen to this hadith very, very carefully. And in future, if you ever get an opportunity to ever drink the leftover of your Muslim brother, your father, your mother, your friend, your Muslim friend, there's so much reward. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a sign of humility is that a person drinks the leftover water of his Muslim brother. A sign of humility. If you want to develop humility, humbleness, ajzi, inkisari, if you want to develop that inside yourself, a sign of humility is to drink the leftover water of a Muslim brother. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on further to say, and he explains the reward. What reward will you attain? One is, you will, it's a sign of humility. And then he says, whoever drinks his brother's leftover drink, he is raised by 70 ranks. 70 of his sins are erased and 70 good deeds are written for him. Allahu Akbar. Not one, but three benefits. 70 of his darajat are increased. Allah Ta'ala raises his rank, elevates his maqam and martaba and status 70 times. What did he do? He just drank the leftover water of his Muslim brother. Allah Ta'ala forgives 70 of his sins. 70 gunah uske muaf kiye jate hain. And Allah Ta'ala gives him 70 good deeds for drinking the leftover water of his Muslim brother. This is the Islamic perspective. This is the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not to turn away in disgust. Not to think of that Muslim to be inferior. Not to think that my mouth is not, that glass and that cup is not worthy of coming next to my mouth. Why should I drink it for? No. We shouldn't think like this. So my brothers, thinking and having a good opinion about our Muslims is crucial. It's very, very important. Let me mention another story. It's mentioned and narrated by Sayyiduna Khuld bin Ayyub rahmatullahi alayhi. He says, there was a worshipper, ek abid tha. He was from Bani Israel. And you know how much he worshipped Allah? He worshipped Allah for 60 years. Allahu Akbar. 60 years. Most of us are not even 60 years. All over here. He worshipped Allah for 60 years on a mountain. One night, he has a dream. In the dream, he sees, and someone is saying to him in the dream, such and such a cobbler is a greater worshipper than you. A cobbler. Such as such, a cobbler is greater, a greater worshipper than you, and his rank is higher than your rank. Allahu Akbar. So when the worshipper, he awoke from his dream, he thought about the dream, but he ignored it. He just thought it's just a dream and it doesn't have much meaning or significance. So he ignored it. He didn't pay much attention to it. The second night he went asleep and he had the same dream again. In the dream he hears that someone is saying to him that so-and-so qabla, he is more greater than you. And his maqam, his martaba, his status is much more better than yours. Again, he woke up. He didn't think much of it the second time. The third time, he has a dream again. And in the third time, he has the same dream. And what is he here? Someone is saying to him that this qabla, he is way more better than you. He is way more better than you. And his rank is way more better than you. This time, the third time, when he sees the same dream, he descends from the mountain and he goes to look for that qabla. When he goes and finds that qabla, the qabla sees him from far away. He's approaching him. So the qabla stops his work. And he stood up out of respect. Because he knows that this person is a pious person. He is known to be worshipping Allah for 60 years on the mountain. From far away, the qabla, he stops his activity. And he looks at that pious man who's come down from the mountain. Out of respect, he stands up. And he kisses the worshipper's hand. And he asks him, what has brought you down from your place of worship? And why have you left the mountain where you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala religiously? The worshipper replied, I have come here because of you. I was told in my dream, not once, not twice, but three times I see in my dream that I have been told that your rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much more greater than mine. So I wanted to see you. I wanted to visit you. Tell me, which deed is it that you are doing? Which deed are you doing that has given you such a high status in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The qabla, listening to all of this, he was shocked. He wasn't expecting this. So he remained silent for a bit. He didn't want to reveal his good deed. This is a sign of a pious person as well. They don't reveal their good deeds. Today we reveal our good deeds. We do something and we want the whole world to know because we want the praise from people. That deed is going to be thrown back in your face on the day of judgment because it wasn't for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was hesitant to reveal his deed. But then he said, I have no special deed. I don't have anything special. There's nothing special that I could think of. I spend my days earning lawful halal sustenance. I stay away from unlawful wealth. And then whatever sustenance Allah gives me and grants me throughout the day, I give it half as charity in His way and I spend the remaining half on my family. Subhanallah. Very simple. And he says, my second deed that I could possibly think of is that I keep fasts frequently, abundance of fasting. Other than this, I have no other exceptional quality or a unique deed that I do that could be considered virtuous. When the worshipper heard all of this, he left. He went away from the qabla. And he went back to the mountain. He started to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometime later, he had another dream. This is the fourth dream. In this dream, the fourth one now, he is being told, this pious person on the mountain is being told, go back to that qabla. Go back to him. And now this time ask the qabla, what fear has come inside your heart that has made the color of your face pale? What has changed the normal color and complexion of your face and change it into a pale color? So he comes down from the mountain. He goes to the qabla again. And he says, why is your face pale? What fear has overtaken your heart? Tumhare dil ke andar kaun si cheez aapko dara rahi hai? What is gripping your heart with fear? So he says, whenever I see, and this is the thing that's linked to my bayan. This is the qabla and this is a deed. And this is what we have to instill in our characters. He says, whenever I see a person, I assume that they are better than me and that they are destined for Jannah, whilst I am the worst of the lot and I am deserving of the fire of hell. I consider myself the most insignificant and sinful of people, and the fear of hell eats me up from inside constantly. This is the reason why my face has turned pale. What did he say? When I see somebody, I think he's better than me. I think he's worthy and deserving of Jannah. And when I look at myself, I think of myself as the most sinful. I'm the lowest of the low. I'm the most unworthy. I am the most sinful. And he further goes on to say that the fear of Jahannam, the thought, the mere thought of Jahannam is eating me up from inside. And because of that khawf, because of that fear, it has changed the color and complexion of my face. And that's why my face is pale. The worshipper, he went back to his place again. Sayyidina Khul bin Ayyub, the narrator of this waqiyah, he says, the qabla, was given this maqam, this martaba, this status over the worshipper. Now look on one side, he is just a cobbler. He earns halal sustenance, he stays away from haram wealth. He fasts frequently. And the third thing is, he adopts good opinions about others and he thinks of himself as being inferior. Everybody else superior and himself being inferior. These are the only three actions that he mentioned. Despite all of the worship of the person who worshipped Allah for 60 years on a mountain, Allah gave a higher status to the cobbler. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because he had husni zan. He had a good opinion. This is the lesson that we need to take from this bayan. Whenever you see anybody, as they say in English, don't judge a book by its cover. Yeah, so what if you got a beard? Yeah, so what if you got a turban and you've got zulfa? And so what if you are outwardly going to the masjid regularly? And maybe that person in front of you doesn't have a beard. Maybe he doesn't wear a turban. Maybe he doesn't wear the Islamic clothing and the Islamic attire. He just wears normal clothes. But maybe his status and his maqam in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may be greater than yours. Never judge a book by its cover. If you recite the Holy Quran and he doesn't necessarily mean that you are more pious than him. Rather think of yourself to be inferior. Rather think of yourself to be unworthy. And think of every other Muslim to be destined for Jannah. Even if you see somebody committing a sin, that is his own action, that is his own deed. Lekin for you to think that now I am better than him because he is committing sins, you don't know what good deed he may have done. What good deed Allah may accept. And because of that good deed, Allah may forgive all of his sins. And we don't know what good deeds that we have done, whether they are even accepted or rejected in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we develop a mindset like this, then inshallah we will be able to develop husni zan about our Muslim brothers and sisters. So Sayyidina Khuld bin Ayyub, he says, the cobbler was given the superiority, the higher rank over the worshipper because he regarded himself insignificant compared to others. And thought everyone besides himself to be destined for paradise. When you see a Muslim, think of him to be a Jannati. This Muslim, he's going to go into Jannah. This Muslim, doesn't matter what his age is, what his color is, what his appearance is, jaise bhi wo lagta hai, bale wo nek surat nahi hai, wo, yani uski dini, yani wo surat nahi hai, his outward appearance is not dini, it's not Islamic, phir bhi aap kahiye Jannati hoga. If you develop this mindset, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will reward you for this. Furthermore, regarding having a good opinion, this is very, very important. In fact, it's a noble form of ibadat. The heart that beats within our chest will either increase our good deeds or it will contribute to our sins. The heart plays two roles. Either it increases our good deeds or it increases our sins. On the day of judgment, when the hands, when the feet, when the eyes, when the ears, all of these will be questioned. The heart will also be questioned. Allah Ta'ala mentions this in the Quran. He says, "Inna sam'a والبصر والفؤاد كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا." Indeed, the ear, the eye, the heart, all of these will be questioned on the day of judgment. Dil se bhi sawal kiya jayega, aank se bhi sawal kiya jayega, kaano se bhi sawal kiya jayega. Ye sari cheeze kal qiyamah ke din inse pooch hogi, inse purzish hogi, inse sawal kiya jayega. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmatur Rahman, he says, the heart that possesses the feeling of goodwill for the entire body, that the heart wants something good for the body, it becomes immediately distressed if one limb is in pain. Yeah, our condition, Allah Hazrat, he explained to me and you, he says, our condition of our heart is that our heart has become diseased. It doesn't want goodness for our body. It's kind of to disease bar gaya hai, maraz. Bimari par gayi hai hamari dilon ke andar. Farmate hain ki our condition is such that our hearts have become diseased by committing sins. So how can such a heart care for us or wish well for us? This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hujurat, and this is the theme of the bayan, possessing good opinions about people and staying away from bad opinions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly, clearly, he mentions this in the Quran. He addresses the believers and he says, "Atawajju ke saath is ayat ko samaat farmana." Farmaya, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ay iman walo, ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann." Refrain and stay away from excessive speculation. speculation. Maybe he did this. I think it was him. I think it was him. You have no evidence. You are just speculating. You are just assuming. Guman sirf kar rahe ho. Koi daleel hi nahi hai. Koi saboot hi nahi hai. Lekin usne chori ki hogi. Usne ye kiya hoga. Usne mujhe dhokha diya hoga. He tricked me. He cheated me. He deceived me. Allah is saying, refrain from excessive speculation. Inna ba'da dhanni ithmun. For even some speculation is sinful. Even some, even the smallest amount of speculation, Allah is saying, ithmun, ye guna hai. Thora sa bhi is tarah zan, is tarah gumaan lekar aana, bura gumaan, thora sa bhi, ye bhi guna hai. What do? We don't just have an assumption. We decide in our hearts and minds. Our hearts and minds are ready to say, yeah, it's him. It's definitely him. We have no evidence. Let alone just speculating. Maybe it's him. Maybe it's not him. I think he did it. It's not even thinking anymore for us. We are saying, Wallahi, Allah ki qasam, these type of things, he did it. You have no evidence. So not only are you lying, not only are you slandering, not only are you speculating, all of these sins are gathering together. That's what Allah says. Stay away from speculation. For even some speculation is a sin. My dear brothers, I want to mention another story. And this story is the same thing that I was saying before. Never judge a book by its cover. Doesn't matter how many namaz you read. Doesn't matter how many roze you keep. It doesn't matter how many hajj you have done. And how many zakats you have given. And how many masjids you have built. And how many orphans you have sponsored. And how many widows you have sponsored. And how many hafiz Quran you have sponsored. And how many alims you have sponsored. It doesn't matter. Never ever be arrogant over your good deeds. And if someone in front of you, hourly, he may have performed less deeds, never ever think of him to be insignificant or lower than you. Or he is unworthy or he is inferior to you. Listen to this story and you will understand what I'm trying to say. It says there was a very, very sinful person. Bahut bada gunahgar tha. He was from Bani Israel. He was passing by one day. And who does he pass by? He passes by a great worshipper. Someone who worshipped Allah profusely, abundantly. He passes by him. That person who was worshipping Allah abundantly, he was so pious and he has such a maqam and martaba, there used to be a cloud of shade over his head. Allahu Akbar. He wasn't an ordinary worshipper. He had a high maqam. The sinner who walked past him, he thought to himself, I am amongst the most sinful of the Bani Israel. There's nobody more sinful than me. And he is a great worshipper. He's a pious person. So why not if I sit next to him, maybe by just sitting in his company, by sitting next to him, uske saath baith jaunga, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy on me as well. So he made this opinion of that person and he had this good intention and he sat next to that person. The worshipper, when he realizes this person has sat next to me, he became displeased. He became arrogant. And he thought to himself, just the thought. He didn't say it to him. He didn't express it to him. He didn't say anything to him. The thought just merely came in his heart and mind. And he thought to himself, how can a person like this, such a great sinner, itna bana gunahgar, mere saath kaise baith sakta hai? How can he sit next to someone like me? I am such a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was his takabbur. This was his arrogance. Allahu Akbar. What happened? When this mere thought came in his heart and mind, when he did takabbur, when he was filled with arrogance and pride, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a revelation down to the Prophet of that time that, O Prophet, go to both of them and tell them both to begin their deeds from the beginning. I have forgiven the sinner because of his good opinion, husni zan, and I have ruined the deeds of the worshipper because of his pride and arrogance. Husni zan became the reason of that major sinner. All of his sins were forgiven. But on the other hand, the one that had arrogance and takabbur, what happened? Allah Ta'ala disregarded and rejected. Allah Ta'ala disregarding and rejected all of his good deeds. So there's a lesson for us in this. We might be thinking that we'll be worshipping Allah for 50 years, 40 years, 30 years. And wear everything. And wear the most biggest haji and the biggest namazi and the biggest rozedar in the world. No one can come close to us. No one can come next to us. And we think of everybody else, they haven't even done Hajj, I'm more better than them. They haven't even performed Umrah, I'm more better than them. Nahi, is tarah nahi sochna chahiye. Because there's a chance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may accept one of his good deeds and forgive all of his sins. And Allah ta'ala may reject and throw back your good deeds back in your face. All is of good opinions about your Muslim brothers and your Muslim sisters. Let's listen to some hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam with regards to husni dhan. It's mentioned in a hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna husna dhanni min al-iman." He says, indeed, husni dhan, good opinion. Husn means good, dhan means opinion. He says, indeed, good opinion is part of iman. This is your iman. When you have husni dhan, this is your iman. It's part of your iman. Iman ka hissa hai. Phir farmaya in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and this is such a beautiful hadith. We go to the Haram, we go to Mecca, we go to Umrah, we go to Hajj. And when we see the Kaaba, everybody has this desire and this yearning to go up to the Kaaba, to hug the Kaaba, to embrace the Kaaba, to just literally, you know, lay your arms onto the Kaaba and cry in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And stay there if we come for the whole entire day and night. And this is how much we have love for the Kaaba, how much respect we have for the Kaaba. But listen to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was addressing the Kaaba. Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Kaabe se mukhatib hokar farma rahe hain, how pure are you? And how fragrant is your air? How great are you? And how great is your sanctity? By the one in whose power is the soul of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sanctity of a believer's life, his wealth and good opinion about him is greater in the court of Allah Almighty than your sanctity. Allah. Huzur Kaabe se keh rahe hain ki jo momin hai uski jo jaan hai uski jo uska jo maal hai aur uske bare mein acha gumaan karna ye zyada ahem aur zaruri hai Kaabe se. The sanctity, the honor, your ikram hai, the honor of a Muslim's life, the honor of a Muslim's wealth. We have to protect Muslim's life. We have to protect Muslim's wealth. And we also have to think good about the Muslims. This is more important than the honor and the sanctity and the greatness of the Kaaba. Who will dare disrespect the Kaaba? No Muslim will ever think bad about the Kaaba. No Muslim will ever dishonor the Kaaba. If anybody ever did that, you know how Muslims will react. Because Muslims have love. They have izzat in their hearts for the Kaaba. Lekin Rasulullah ne kya farmaya? Ke subhanallah, the Kaaba has its own greatness. Lekin the life, the wealth, and the good opinion of a Muslim, this is greater than the sanctity of the Kaaba. Isse aap andaza laga sakte hain ki how important it is to keep a good opinion about Muslims. Lekin like I said, what is the reality today? Today, how are Muslims treating one another? How do Muslims think about one another? Let alone people that we don't even know. Our own brothers, blood brothers, mother and father, husband and wife, children, siblings amongst themselves, best friends, neighbors, students. How are we with one another? How do we think about one another? We have bad opinions. We make judgments. We have no evidence. We don't have good opinions. And this is what the bayan is all about, my brothers. Make some good intentions from today onwards. That you're never going to have bad opinions about Muslims. You're never going to think bad about Muslims. You're never going to make bad assumptions or judgments about Muslims. Always keep a good opinion, even if it's hard at that moment. Lekin, you will get a reward for keeping a good opinion about a Muslim. And if you keep a bad opinion about a Muslim, then this could lead to a sin. This could lead to all your deeds being wasted. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said, husnu dhan min husn al-ibadah. He said, husni dhan, good opinion, is part of a good worship. If you want to do a good worship, then have good opinions about Muslims. Regarding this last hadith, my brothers, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi says, maintaining a good opinion about Muslims and avoiding evil suspicions. See, two things have been mentioned here. Maintaining a good opinion and staying away from evil opinions and suspicions about Muslims is amongst the excellent acts of worship. یہ بھی عبادت ہے. ہم نمازیں پڑھتے ہیں, یہ بھی عبادت ہے, روزے بھی رکھتے ہیں, حج بھی کرتے ہیں, زکوٰۃ بھی دیتے ہیں, یہ سارا کچھ عبادتیں ہیں. لیکن مسلمانوں کے بارے میں اچھا سوچنا, اچھا گمان کرنا, ان کے حوالے سے اچھی باتیں دماغ میں اور ذہن میں لے کر آنا, یہ بھی اچھی عبادت ہے. And this is what we need to do. And staying away from bad opinions. Now, as I mentioned, the benefits and the rewards of good opinions. Now, let's listen to some harms of having evil opinions about Muslims. Expressing suspicion directly to someone can hurt their feelings. And hurting a Muslim's feelings without a valid Islamic reason is forbidden. You're saying to that person, I think it's you. Or I know it's you. You just made a bad judgment about him. Someone's things has gone missing. And you just think, oh, I think it's him. How many times do we hear about this? So-and-so did something, or something happened, or I think it was him. It's got to be him. He's that type of person. It's got to be him. This is bad opinions. But these are bad judgments. That could hurt people's feelings. And to hurt a Muslim's feelings without an Islamic reason, a valid reason, this is forbidden. And then if someone says, okay, I was saying in front of his face, but I just tell my friend, I think he did it. I'm 100% sure he's done it, man. Definitely, he stole it. My phone's gone missing, he's definitely done it. If they didn't do it in their presence, rather in their absence, that's also forbidden. Doesn't make it permissible, I'll do it behind his back. Whether to his face, whether behind his back. A bad assumption is a bad assumption. Furthermore, a person who is involved in this type of mindset, but he's always thinking bad suspicion, it leads to spying. So you know, next time a person, what is he going to do? You know, my thing's gone missing. You know, I'm going to put that person to test. I'm going to deliberately leave something over here. I'm going to try to see if he steals it or not. This is called tajassus. And the Quran says, this is called spying. Tajassus, jasusi karna. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُ. And don't spy. Is tarah na karein. But that's what a person is going to start doing. Because why? He's got bad opinions. And it leads to spying and tajassus. Because the heart is not content. The heart's not at rest. It's got suspicion inside it. And it leads a person to pry and to look into others' faults. This is also forbidden as well. Islam does not allow us to go and, you know, with a magnifying glass and peeking and sneaking and prying and spying on our Muslims and try to look for their faults. Islam to hame ye dars deta hai ki if you come aware and if you have knowledge of someone's faults, then don't expose them. Rather conceal them. Rather than revealing them, hide them. For there's a hadith, the summary is that whoever conceals the sin of a Muslim in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover and conceal and hide his sin on the day of judgment. To hame to gunahon ko chupana chahiye, apne gunahon ko bhi chupana chahiye, dusre ke gunahon ko bhi chupana chahiye. Lekin today we expose what's happening on social media. If someone does make a mistake, he does do something wrong, that's it, out there on social media, and once it's gone, it's never coming back. This is what the reality is today. So this leads to spying and tajassus, and the Quran says don't do this. And last point, my brothers, to conclude the bayan, people who are always thinking bad about people, it develops spiritual diseases inside their hearts. Malice. Envy. You know, when you start thinking that he's done something wrong to me. He's definitely cheated me. He definitely swore at me. He's definitely done fraud with me. You're just thinking. Automatically, you tell me, what is going to be the feelings inside your heart? What is going to be the reaction? You're going to have hatred for that person. Every time he's going to come in front of you, you're just going to think bad of him. You're just going to hate him. You're going to have adawat, enmity towards him. For no reason. Only because you had a bad opinion about him. This is what a bad opinion does. That one bad opinion, it leads to nafrat. It leads to bugs, hatred, malice, envy, jealousy. All of these things start to take home inside a person's heart. But if we get rid of this illness, this cancer of bad suspicions, and we only think good of our Muslim brothers and sisters, then not only will we be rewarded for thinking good, we will also stay away from the sin of thinking bad about our Muslims. So make some good intentions. Aaj niyat kar le. Viewers of Middle East Channel, if we have bad opinions, or we've ever had bad opinions and bad suspicions and evil suspicions, bad yani judgments and bad gumani, isko Urdu mein bad gumani kehte hain. Agar humne kabhi bhi is tarah kiya hai, aaj toba kar le ki, Ya Allah, I've done bad suspicions and judgments about all my Muslim brothers and sisters. From today onward, Ya Allah, I ask for forgiveness. I will never do this again. And I will only think good about my Muslim brothers and sisters. Niyat karte hain, inshaAllah. Allah Ta'ala hamein husne zan rakhne ki taufeeq ata farmaye aur su'e zan badgumani se bachne ki taufeeq ata farmaye ameen bi jahin nabil ameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam sallu ala al habib
sallallahu ta'ala Say, O Mubarak, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Say,